And most likely in these days and time, because we are moving more and more, let's be honest, we are moving more and more away from marriage. So it is not your spouse, so to speak, but there's your boo. All right? There's your boo. All right? Now, you and your boo might have some children together. Okay? But more than likely, you got another baby's daddy or another baby's mama.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. I'm Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of The Power of Forgiveness in Relationships. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Power of Forgiveness in Relationships.
All right, Matthew 18. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king who would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had nothing with which to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment was made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And when he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou besought me. Shouldest not thou have also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was very angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you also if from your hearts forgive every man or every one his brother, his trespasses. And as we come today, I want to speak to you on this subject, the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness, especially as we look at relationships. We've been looking at this issue of relationships. And as we began last week, we talked about the fact that if you are going to be in a relationship with anybody, that you must exercise some degree of brokenness. And now we're going to move on to the second phase as we examine relationships, that if you are going to be in relationship with anyone, that there has to be this whole idea of forgiveness. Now, I was thinking about the different relationships that we can find ourselves in. So if you'll put up that next slide, I want to talk about, you know, the different types of relationships that we find ourselves in. Okay, and I put this little framework, systematic framework together to help us understand how people can be involved in our lives and how we need to understand relationships. Right in the middle, you'll see that there's you, all right? And as you go to the left or right, you will be dealing with people that will probably most likely be the most impactful on your life, and that is either your spouse or your children or your grandchildren. So those are the ones that just, they bump up right against you. So you will find yourself in very significant and first level relationships with those who are in, quote unquote, your immediate household. And then we find ourselves, as we move, as we broaden our circle out, we find ourselves in relationship with parents and siblings. For those younger, you know, many of us our parents or your parents are still alive. So you find yourself in relationship with parents, and even you can put in there grandparents. You know, sometimes we are in that sandwich generation where we are not only dealing with children and parents, but also grandparents. So we can put grandparents at that second level. And then, of course, our siblings, our brothers and sisters, you know, are part of that circle that we involve ourselves in. And as our circle broadens, we find that if we are married, that then we have our in-laws that become a part of that relationship. So you can see now what's happening here is that this opportunity for relationship begins to expand, which also means that the opportunity for us to bump up against someone, to offend someone, to have problem with someone, that also expands too. And then finally we see that last level is that we have friends. So these are levels in which we find ourselves in relationship. Now, I worked on another slide, and I put another slide together, and this slide is what I call systematic framework of relationships in the hood. Now, the reason I put this together, and I was thinking about this, I said, this is happening in all cultures, in all races. It's just that black folk have just put names on it. And we have helped society because we put names on it. All right? So, you know, there's you. And most likely in these days and time, because we are moving more and more, let's be honest, we are moving more and more away from marriage. So there's not your spouse, so to speak, but there's your boo. All right? There's your boo. All right? Now, you and your boo might have some children together. Okay? But more than likely, you got another baby's daddy or another baby's mama. So you're bringing in a whole nother dynamic. You see, I mean, see the dynamics that's happening here? And, you know, all you got to do is just begin to examine society, and you see how complicated this thing gets. You know, because no longer, you know, do we refer to our children, but we refer to what? My baby daddy. You know, and I found out we don't even put the possessive S on there. You know, my baby daddy or my baby mama. All right? So you know, not only do you got to deal with your boo and any children that you might have with your boo, but you or any children that you might have in general, but now you got a whole nother issue to deal with when you deal with your baby daddy or your baby mama. That's what they call it, baby mama drama. You know, that's a whole nother issue right there. And then we don't call, you know, our parents anymore. You know, I know we was calling, it was called the raise. And what was the raise? The raise was the person who raised you, all right? And so, and for the most part, in the African-American community, especially, you know, if we look at it, who is the raise? The raise is the mother, okay? So the mother is the one basically that's raising the children. Then as we move outside of that circle, you know, what we have here, that's my baby's other grandma and my baby's other grandpa. Why? Because the grandpa and the grandma are the ones that are my mother and father. See how complicated this thing gets? It really gets deep. So you can begin to see how complex these relationships begin to get. Because now not only do I have my mother and father to deal with in this relationship, but generally, my baby's grandma, my baby's other grandma, and my baby's other grandpa, they want to have some time with the child. So now I've got a whole nother dynamic in relationship in there. And then, you know, we don't have friends anymore. We got dogs, all right? So we got my dog this and my dog that, and then we have download partners, all right? We don't have friends anymore. We got download partners. And what is a download partner? Download partner is somebody of the same sex that people are creeping around with that they don't want people to know about, because and they keep it on the down low, all right? Now, even with all that, let's come back to the center circle. I got my boo, right? And more than likely, What's happening with my boo? They got babies with somebody else, right? So there goes a whole nother dynamic that's in this thing. I'm looking at this and I'm saying, man, look how we in our society have just complicated things. And there's just, and you know what? As you look, you can see how, and I've seen it. I've seen conflict at every one of these levels of relationship. Everyone, people are in some kind of conflict. And if we as God's people are going to be in relationship with anyone, you know, it behooves us to know how to get along with folk in relationship. And that's why I started out last week talking about brokenness. That if you're going to be in any relationship, you know, if you're dealing with your boo and your boo got babies by somebody else, and these babies want to be in your boo's life, then that means that you not only got to deal with the babies, but you got to deal with the mother or the father, and then there's a whole other, so you got to learn how to get along and deal with folks. So as we move to the second message, I think that it's important we understand the issue of forgiveness. That unless we are, as people of God, learn how to exercise forgiveness, we are going to find ourselves in constant conflict at every one of these levels. Every one of these levels. Because it's just, you know, they're just a powder keg for conflict. A powder keg for conflict. And so I pray today that everybody today, somebody can't say, well, you know, that message was speaking to somebody else, or that message wasn't necessary. You know, everybody is in relationship with somebody at some level. So as we come, let's look at how to exercise forgiveness, the power of forgiveness in relationships. We see in our text today that there was a man who owed a lord a debt. Now, according to the scripture, basically, he owed this individual $several million. Several million dollars. And the man came to collect the debt. And when he didn't have the money, he was getting ready not only to throw him and his family in jail or to sell them so that the debt could be repaid. And so the man got down on his hands and knees and he began to beg and he began to plead that the master would give him some time to repay. He said, oh, Lord, give me some time. Have mercy on me. Help me to have time to pay this debt. And the Bible says, that the Lord canceled the debt. Canceled it. Don't worry about it. It's forgiven. And instead of this man being overwhelmed and excited that the debt was canceled, he went out and he found somebody. Now, once again, keep in mind that he had just had a $2 million debt canceled. He goes out and he finds somebody that basically owes him $16. $16 is what it amounts to. And he asked the man for his money, and the man said he didn't have it. And so he began to grab the man by the throat and shake him. I guess he thought he was going to shake the money out of the man. He was shaking him, and come to find out that the man couldn't do anything. And so he had the man and his family thrown into prison. They were thrown into prison. Well, some people saw what happened. And they went back to the first lord that had forgave the man millions of dollars. And they told him what happened. And then we see in verse 32, it says, Then his lord, after he had called him, said, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou besought me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. So he was going to take that $1 million out of his hide. But then Jesus kind of gives us the bottom line of the parable. He says in verse 35, so likewise, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother his trespasses. God sets the bar. And God says, because you have been forgiven, that it's incumbent upon you to forgive those that have wounded and offended you. I wrote down some situations that can cause an unforgiving spirit. A wife refuses to forgive her husband because of adultery. A daughter refuses to forgive her father because he raped her when she was growing up. A sister refuses to forgive another sister because she took her boyfriend when they were teenagers. Ex-spouses refuse to forgive each other after a bitter divorce. A mother refuses to forgive her child because he ruined his life. And these are situations that are actually out there, and as you can see, they happen at every level of relationship. And people sometimes want to hold on to this unforgiving spirit. If you look at your notes this morning, the first thing that we see is that we have a biblical mandate of forgiveness. We have a biblical mandate of forgiveness. In Ephesians 4:32, you don't have to turn there, it's right there in the notes, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So we see, first of all, that there is vertical forgiveness. God has forgiven us. God has forgiven us. And many of us are like the man in the story. We owed God a debt that we could never repay. I don't know about you, but I just think back over my life and some of the things that I've done and some of the situations that I've been in. And God looked down and God forgave him. I like the song that says, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God. My sins are G-O-N-E gone. God has forgiven us. God has lifted our sins. Well, I like what Martin Luther said. Martin Luther said that he had a dream one night. And in this dream, the devil came and the devil unrolled a scroll with all of Martin Luther's sins on it. And Martin Luther looked at the devil and he said, is that all? And the devil went and got another scroll and rolled it down with all Martin Luther's sins on it. And Martin Luther said, is that all? Devil went and got another scroll and rolled it down with more of Martin Luther's sins on it. And finally, after the last one, and Satan had listed all of Martin Luther's sins, Martin Luther triumphantly exclaimed, but you've forgotten something else. And Satan said, what is that? He said, you need to write behind each one, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. We have been forgiven. Somebody said, if our greatest need was information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need was technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need was pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainment. But our greatest need is forgiveness. And God sent us a savior. God has forgiven us. Man, I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you've been. We had a very difficult lesson last Wednesday when we talked about suicide. And we deal with the fact that is there any sin that is beyond the reach and the scope of the blood of Jesus Christ? And the conclusion that we came to is that there's no sin, because Andre Crouch said the blood shall never lose its power. And there's no sin that's beyond the limits of the blood of Christ. As a matter of fact, Paul said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And so if we've been forgiven, then it's up to us as we look at the vertical. Man, look at the vertical. You've been forgiven. God is not holding anything against you. God is not piling your sins up. And one day he's going to drop the hammer on you if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The vertical has been made right. And God had every right to hold things against us. But now it's up to us to work on the horizontal. And you see, my brothers and sisters, then this is where the problem comes in. Because we have difficulties, and we say, well, that's God. He can do that. That's God. He can forgive. But God is trying to set the bar. He's trying to set the standard to say, if I can do this, for all the knucklehead, sinful, stupid things that you've done, the least you can do is forgive people around you. And so we see, well, why? And I asked the question, and I began to sit down and think about this. Why is it that people don't want to forgive? I mean, as a pastor, you know, I deal with folk all the time. And I see people, they just have a spirit where they're going to hold on to that unforgiveness and they're not going to let it go. And I see it, and as I talk to people and I hear them say this, that they hold that unforgiveness in their heart and they're just not going to let it go. And you may be sitting here today, and just as you're looking in your mind's eye, that there's somebody you know as you sit here today that you haven't forgiven. There's somebody you know that you're in relationship with. And maybe you're not even speaking to the person now because you have an unforgiving spirit. God says the mandate is, because you've been forgiven, that you have to forgive. And as we look at reasons why people don't forgive, let me give you four reasons why people don't forgive. Number one, control. They feel that maybe they have been dominated by another person. And this is the one way that I can control this relationship. And so if I can withhold forgiveness, then I feel like I have some degree of control. So some people refuse to forgive because they want to hold on to some degree of control. They feel that they're empowered in some way. They feel that, you know, that it empowers them to continue to hold on to unforgiveness, because this is the one thing I got over you. You know, you've controlled me in other ways, but this is the one thing I've got over you, and I'm going to hold on to this unforgiveness. A second reason that people refuse to forgive is because of fear. And what is the fear? Well, they feel that if they forgive, that they'll open themselves up to be hurt again. And so instead of me opening myself up to be hurt again, I'll just go ahead and hold on to this unforgiveness. Some people don't forgive because of ignorance. They just don't know how. I'm going to teach you, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to teach you how to forgive. We're going to show you from the Word of God. How can you forgive another person? And, you know, some people just outright, and I've heard this right here, and you might have said this yourself, they just want to punish the other person. And they withhold forgiveness, and this is their way of getting back. You know, this is the way that they get back at that person, because, you know, if I withhold my forgiveness, that here is a person, they've come and they've acknowledged the wrong, they've acknowledged what they've done is not right.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Power of Forgiveness in Relationships. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Power of Forgiveness in Relationships, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Power of Forgiveness in Relationships. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request the power of forgiveness in relationships, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.